It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. When 30 tons of fertilizer detonated in West Texas last April, the explosion and shockwave is said to have traveled faster than the speed of sound and crushed buildings. The U.S. Geological Survey recorded a 2.1 magnitude tremor from the explosion. 15 people died, including 12 firefighters and emergency responders, and hundreds were injured. The same chemical that blew up in West Texas is manufactured in Donora, Pennsylvania, just south of Pittsburgh. Veteran reporter Bill Heltzel wrote about the issue for our content partner Public Source in a piece that is out today, and he joins us now in Studio A to talk about the town of Donora, its history with industrial accidents, and where the town stands today when it comes to the safety of hazardous materials. Bill Heltzel, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for inviting me.
Also with us by phone is Kim Nybarger, a United Steelworkers health and safety technician for the United Steelworkers, which represents workers at Dyno Nobel, a manufacturer of explosives in Donora, about 20 miles south of Pittsburgh, as we mentioned. And welcome to Essential Pittsburgh, Kim Nybarger.
Thank you, Paul. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
If you have a comment or question for our guests, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. We'd especially like to hear from people near Donora, the town of Donora, the home of the Dyno Nobel plant. How much do you know about the plant? How much would you like to know? And how forthcoming do you think officials should be with information, especially regarding the potential for a dangerous industrial accident? Bill Heltzel, the accident that occurred in West Texas happened the same week as the Boston Marathon bombing, so a lot of folks may have missed getting the full story. What is important for us to know about the circumstances, first of all, surrounding the explosion in West?
Well, it should be noted that it's still under investigation. We don't have a definitive story on how it happened. There was a fire that broke out in the evening in an unintended plant. There's nobody there. Volunteer firefighters responded. Those firefighters knew that ammonia was stored in that plant. And ammonia, in its own right, is a very dangerous, toxic chemical. What they didn't know was that ammonium nitrate fertilizer was kept there. They didn't have the safety sheets that explained how to fight that fire. They hadn't trained for that fire. And when the chemical exploded, they were caught in the blast zone. I think it's also important to note that a lot of people had built houses and businesses within that blast zone after that plant had opened. There were three schools. There was a nursing home. I think 200-some homes and businesses were leveled by that explosion, and those folks also did not know the risk that was in their backyard.
When it comes to ammonia, we know that it's an ingredient, particularly in cleaning fluids. How much a part is ammonia of our daily lives, and how necessary is it?
Well, ammonia is used in many, many products. It's a fertilizer. It's, as you pointed out, a household cleaner. You know, if you twist your ankle and you put a cold pack on your ankle, a lot of times that is made with ammonia. It has a lot of legitimate uses. It's also used very much as an industrial refrigerant. So it's widely applied.
So there's ammonia, and then there is ammonium nitrate. And what is it used for?
That's correct. Well, the ammonia is an ingredient in ammonium nitrate fertilizer in explosives. So you can take that chemical, and with the industrial process, you can make it into other things. And so in West Texas, they were not actually a manufacturer. They were mixing the chemicals for farmers. The final product was ammonium nitrate fertilizer. You can mix that with diesel fuel, for example, and that can become an explosive. You can use that in mining and in construction. The product in Denora is ammonium nitrate pellets, and it's designed for coal mining.
How did you learn about Dyno Nobel?
Oh, it was kind of backwards. I'd never heard of the plant before the West Texas explosion. I was curious about that explosion, and then the Associated Press and Reuters news agencies did a quick study on where this chemical is located, and they did a public records request around the country. Associated Press made a calculation that 600,000 people live within a quarter mile blast zone of ammonium nitrate products. But what really caught my attention was that they couldn't include Pennsylvania in that calculation because Pennsylvania officials would not give them the information.
Do we know why that is?
Well, I think the reason actually we made the same request, and the reason they gave us is that it poses a public safety risk. They're implying that the information would get in the wrong hands, namely terrorists.
And how toxic would pure ammonia be if there was an accident?
Well, pure ammonia, it can be pretty nasty. I think, again, of the household product. That's about 2%. And anybody who has worked with ammonia, you know, cleaning up mold in your basement or something of that sort, you know how pungent it is. When you inhale that, it irritates your nose, your throat, your mm-hmm. eyes. The ammonia that's being used in the manufacturing process is pure. So it's 50 times more potent. If it's in a contained area, it can be pretty bad. It can cause blindness, it can cause choking, and it can asphyxiate the person.
Kim Nybarger, tell us a little bit about Dyno Nobel. How many people, for example, are employed there?
Well, there's 52 full-time employees there.
And what plans have to be in place at Dyno Nobel regarding a hazard assessment, a prevention program, and emergency response program?
Well, yeah, all of those. It falls under the process safety management standard, so it's required to fulfill the obligations of that standard. So it needs to have an emergency response plan. It has to have a risk management plan, which falls under EPA mandates.
And who must those plans be shared with?
Well, with the employees, and then there's certain requirements for the local emergency planning commission, local emergency response groups.
Have the employees that you work with expressed concerns to you, Kim?
Not particularly about the process. We did a safety inspection, if you will, at the facility several years ago, but it was not particularly to do with ammonia. It was to do with some other questions that the employees had about certain processes at the facility.
412-246-2002 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation with our guests, Bill Heltzel and Kim Nybarger, talking about Dyno Nobel and the situation in West Texas, whether there are similarities, particularly with regard to the concerns people might have about in the wake of the accident that occurred in West Texas in April of this year. Let's go to the phones. We have Nelson from South Park calling. Nelson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Now, I work with fertilizers, and I've been licensed through the state, and from all my training and everything, I don't know how different it is by state by state, but as far as I know, any facility that stores or manufactures any kind of like pesticide or anything flammable, that fire stations within the area that would go there should have to be informed of what is there and the risks.
Go ahead, Bill. You take
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, he's correct. There's a requirement with hazardous chemicals to notify, as Kim pointed out, to notify the state and local emergency planning committees. That's shared with the fire departments. There's some gaps in that regulation. For example, the risk management plan must be filed for ammonia, but it is not required for ammonium nitrate fertilizers and explosives.
That doesn't seem to make any sense.
Well, I would agree. And the U.S. Chemical Safety Board, I think, would agree with you. They've been urging a change in the regulations since 2002. So far, the Environmental Protection Agency and OSHA, the Occupational Safety Health Administration, have not acted on that recommendation.
So, as you reported in your story, it's been 11 years. The Chemical Safety Board has recommended what seems like a very logical step here, considering what's at stake and the potential dangers involved, that companies be required to file risk plans for explosive chemicals like ammonium nitrate manufactured at the plant in Denora, Dyno Nobel. Neither the EPA nor the Occupational Safety and Health Administration has acted on the recommendations. Why is that? Do we know why they've chosen not to act at this point?
I do not know. That's an excellent question. I think you're getting into the politics of Washington and the certainly there's a lot of lobbying money involved in these issues. I think it's
so would the interest on the part of the lobbyists would be to let's not worry about taking too many precautions here, folks, because
I wouldn't put it quite that way. I think the there are many responsible companies out there that do worry about these things, but they would rather control it themselves than have a regulator imposing standards on them. And I think it's very important to note in this case that these
let me go back to that last point.
Sure.
What serves the public interest better, to have the government overseeing this or to have the companies police themselves?
Well, I think the genius of the federal law that was established that requires this information to be disclosed is that it also requires that it be disclosed to the public. And the idea there is that the people who face the greatest risk, whether it's the workers in the plant or the neighbors, they should know what's in their backyard. And that's what I think is most disturbing about the state not being willing to give up that information.
Are the 4,800 residents of Denora aware of the risks of the chemicals in the town?
Well, I can't speak for all 4,800, but I spent 3 days down there, and I went to the library, I went to businesses, I knocked on doors, I followed up with phone calls, and I can say that there are very few people there who are aware of what is made down there. And I can't say that across from the plant, the people who live very close do know what is made there, but they don't really have a clear idea what they should do if there's an emergency.
And how many companies in Pennsylvania are storing ammonia? Do we know?
Well, we don't know exactly. We know that there are large amounts of ammonia stored by at least 59 facilities in Pennsylvania. There are probably hundreds that have certain amounts of ammonia. And again, I think it's important to say that if this chemical is handled properly, it's stable. You think of it, a pit chemist made this analogy to me. He said that think of your backyard grill. You have propane in that tank under your grill. Propane is very hazardous, but if you do everything right, if you handle that grill correctly, if you don't let it rust out, it's fine. And most companies understand that risk, and they're going to do the right thing. But we found in West Texas something went terribly wrong. And so the question is, where is this chemical stored and who out there may not be doing the right things?
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's 90.5 WESA. We're talking with reporter Bill Heltzel of our content partner Public Source about Denora, PA's history with industrial accidents and where the town stands today regarding hazardous materials. Also with us by phone is Kim Nybarger, a United Steelworkers health and safety technician for the United Steelworkers, which represents workers at Dyno Nobel, a manufacturer of explosives in Denora, about 20 miles south of Pittsburgh. Our phone number, 412-246-2002, if you'd like to join the conversation or have a comment or question for either of our guests. Kim Nybarger, what are workers trained to do in the event of an accident like the one at West Texas?
Well, it's hard to say because I don't know what their emergency response procedures are, but they are annually trained in basic ammonia emergency response, and above and beyond that, I'm not sure.
So an ammonia emergency response, the response constitutes what, as far as you know?
Well, it could be several things if they're, depending on the level of their training, they could be trained to respond to a leak so that they could secure it. They may be trained to securing what they can and evacuating the area, donning personal protective equipment, which for ammonia would be a self-contained breathing apparatus to get out of the area, and also to report the incident to whoever they need to report it to, whether it would be to the company or to outside agencies.
Bill, you talk with people in Denora. What do they have to say about some of this?
Well, most of them, again, had no idea of what was made down there. And
you also talked to some people who had some contingency plans in place in the event of...
Well, there was one man who lives across from the plant. He has three children. There was a strong ammonia smell a couple of years ago, and his mother basically came in and removed his children. There was another man I spoke with who used to be with the volunteer fire department. He's been in the plant. He understands the basic risk. He says he feels safe. He's confident in what they do there. He's okay with it. Other people had a more fatalistic response. One woman pointed out there's a nitrous oxide is manufactured near there. She hopes that if the ammonium nitrate blows, that the nitrous oxide also blows, that she can at least laugh when it happens. There's some fatalistic thinking.
Dark humor in there. Well, you mentioned in your piece that Rust Belt towns, as they are referred to by some, like Denora, have an incentive to overlook hazardous chemical risks or take that kind of attitude like the woman that you just spoke of. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tolerance because the towns, they've lost so many jobs. I mean, Denora has 4,000 some people, about 4,800 people. They used to have 14,000. The tax base is eroding. They don't even have a bank anymore. They've lost three banks this year. They don't have a grocery store. They don't have a gas station. They need revenue. They need jobs. So I think there's a kind of a history there of tolerance. And that goes way back.
Denora has a history with deadly toxic gases. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's correct. In 1948, there was a deadly smog. For 5 days, the smog sat over the town. And when that happens, it traps the gases. Now, back then, it was the kind of stuff that was coming out of the plants was a lot worse. There was a zinc plant that was the main suspect in that case. But in any event, 20 people died over those 5 days. But the worst problem, and we don't really address that in this story, is the chronic exposure to these chemicals. There's a woman who grew up in Denora and has written a really wonderful book, When Smoke Ran Like Water. Her name is Deborah Davis. She's an epidemiologist. This is her specialty. And what she writes about is the chronic exposure to these chemicals. You breathe this in every day, and it affects your lungs. It affects your tissues. What she has seen is higher death rates over time from people who live in industrial towns like this.
And as it happens, Dyno Nobel is located on the property of the old zinc works. suspected of spewing the corrosive gas that killed those 20 people and sickened thousands of others back in 1948.
That's correct, yes.
Kim Nybarger, as far as you're concerned, is Denora prepared for an emergency?
Well, I don't know because I don't have any idea what kind of contingency plans the city or the emergency responders fire department have in place. But I would think that our employees at the facility, going back to the earlier comment about the concern about the sustainability of the jobs and then this kind of attitude of kind of looking the other way, I think the employees at the facility are trained, are knowledgeable of the process. It's been a stable workforce. And I think if there were concerns there, in fact, I know if there were concerns there, they would notify us because we've been in contact on a couple of occasions over issues going on there. So I'm comfortable with the level of confidence that the workforce has in the way the facility is operated.
Kim, are there things that worry you personally that keep you up at night when you think about what could happen?
Well, certainly. I mean, and not only this, but, we deal with the refining industry, other chemical manufacturers. I mean, there's always the potential for an equipment failure. And so the mechanical integrity, the maintenance that takes place at these facilities is a great concern to us because most of the root causes or contributors we see to accidents in this industry come from the mechanical integrity. And I think, the rust belt kind of terminology sums it up. The economy is not as good as it is, but I think a company that deals with the volume of ammonia that they do at Dyno Nobel, I think they're pretty conscious about their unloading facilities and storage facilities in particular.
Bill Heltzel, last question. What are the lessons to be learned from the explosion in West Texas, realizing, of course, that it's still under investigation?
Well, I think the primary lesson is that what we don't know about hazardous chemicals can hurt us.
Bill Heltzel is with our content partner, Public Source, and you can find his story about Denora. We'll have a link to it at our website, WESA.FM. And Bill, joining us in Studio A, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it, as always.
Thank you, Paul.
And also thanks to Kim Nybarger, a United Steelworkers health and safety technician for the United Steelworkers, representing workers at Dyno Nobel, a manufacturer of explosives in Denora, 20 miles south of Pittsburgh. Kim Nybarger, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate the opportunity to participate today.
Coming up, we'll preview the upcoming documentary, American Made Movie. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.